Hello and welcome to the Pop Pop and Napcast, episode number 91. I am your host, TJ Deitch, and this is the dad and parenting podcast that I record while my kids are sleeping or at school or doing any number of things. I am the father of a 3-year-old little girl and a 10-month-old boy. I work from home and watch the kids a little bit, but my mom also is around and does kind of the majority of the kid rearing and wrangling during the day these days. My folks moved out here in the past couple months, and so that's been a really nice help, as you know, we have two kids now instead of the one, which I did for the first 2 years. I want to apologize for not getting an episode out last week. As you'll hear in this episode, a whole lot of stuff was going on, and just didn't have time to sit down and record and do all the usual stuff. But I am here. I'm going to cover 2 weeks in one episode, so this one might be a little long. Funny thing is, I actually tried to record this episode about 2 days ago. I'm still getting used to the new version of GarageBand that's on my new computer, and it didn't work out so well. It sounded really echoey. I know that's something that was in the previous episode, number 90. I tried to fiddle around with it, figure it out. I just couldn't do it, so I figured I would lay down a whole new episode, and it's not the worst thing in the world. I feel like I've got a little bit better of a handle on everything. You know, once you kind of say something once, it organizes your thoughts, and then you can kind of do it again. So this one will probably be a little bit more concise than that one would have been, and so that's always a good thing, and hopefully a few more ums I won't have to cut out because I'm a little bit more on point. The main reason that I wasn't able to record last week is because we got hit with a pretty nasty stomach bug. On Monday, it snowed. This is not this week, but last week, the week before. It snowed, and so my wife was home. While she was home, we noticed our daughter was being kind of a little less energetic than normal. At one point, she wanted to lay down in the bathroom with her sleeping bag, which is unusual. And then the next thing we know, she was getting sick in there. So she was kind of the opening swell of this this battle with a nasty stomach bug that's been going around the New York area quite a bit, the area that we live in, at least. After that, our son started kind of spitting up. You know, with a baby, there's a difference between spitting up and, you know, vomiting. And it seemed like he was just spitting up, but he was spitting up a lot. And then eventually we realized that he was, you know, actually sick and basically emptying the contents of his stomach after every single feeding, which is obviously no good for a little guy. At the same time, our daughter kept being sick, and, you know, it was heartbreaking because she's just run out of stuff. I mean, she was dry heaving, basically. And, you know, she doesn't understand. She's, you know, really upset about the whole thing. And it's just really too bad because she had no idea what was going on. You can't really explain it, although she's been sick a few times, but never this sick and never something like this. So we did our best and kind of got her comfortable and all that. And then that night we decided to kind of circle the wagons and all sleep downstairs. My wife and I were on, you know, opposite ends of the sectional. Jack was in a cradle nearby, and Lucy was on a flip-out chair that kind of spreads out on the floor. And she got sick once or twice in the night, and Jack did, and it was just very difficult to get through. But it was far from the worst night. That would be Tuesday night. So we got up, you know, my wife, we were all tired. She decided to stay home. My mom came over to help out with the kids. And We did okay. I mean, I got my work out of the way, and then I tried to get back in and help, and we did okay. And then, you know, I went and got groceries and made dinner and did a few other things. And then in the evening, I noticed that I was starting to get kind of rumbly in my tumbly. Now, I thought I could kind of, like, mentally control it a little bit, and I did. I did a pretty good job of kind of keeping it together. But at a certain point with something like this, you wind up being faced with the inevitable fact that you're going to get sick. You know, it's just going to happen. So maybe you should just kind of let it. So I did. And I upchucked a few times. And it was just, it was rough. It's one of those things where, like, you know, your stomach just feels like it's being wrenched. And so everything that's there comes up. And even when there's nothing there, it comes up. So it was tough. That night, Tuesday night, I slept downstairs by myself, just out of the way on the couch. I had a bucket that I thankfully didn't need because I made it to the bathroom, but I didn't need it in the middle of the night, and a bunch of bottles of Smart Water that my folks picked up. And, you know, I did okay. It was tough, not the easiest sleeping in the world. And I had texted my mom, letting her know, so she was able to come over early the next day. But that night was rough for Em and the kids, because Jack, our son, couldn't breastfeed like he normally does at night. So my wife was trying to be up with him and feed him food or a little bit of milk. But, you know, he was screaming and not into that at all. And, you know, Lucy, our daughter, threw up in our bed. And, I mean, there was just a lot going on. So she didn't sleep very well. My mom came over in the morning. Em went back to bed. I just laid on the couch almost all of Wednesday. Started feeling a little bit better by the end of the day. But for the most part, I was just there. And then my mom decided to go home for a little bit and then come back and spend the night downstairs with Jack, because she could feed him a bottle when he got hungry and then keep a good idea of how much he was taking in and limit it a little bit easier than, you know, when you're breastfeeding, you have no idea. So she did that. I slept in my office. Lucy was in her room, or in our room with my wife. And it seemed to go okay. And then I woke up, and unfortunately, my mom got sick, which, you know, I felt terrible about. She came over to help us out, and she wound up getting it worse than I did, for sure. Because the other thing, the thing that I dealt with mostly on Wednesday, was the body aches. I mean, the stomach was bad, but it kind of went away. The body aches were just gnarly. I mean, they just kept hitting, and I had a headache that felt like somebody had cut like a perfect circle around my skull. I could feel it almost, you know, that ring. And it was just awful. My mom unfortunately got it, so she went home that morning. My dad took care of her for the next couple days. And then luckily I was feeling better at that point, so I was able to get back into it. Again, Em stayed home. That day, Lucy went back to school because she was feeling better, and Em wound up going to and from school three times. She dropped Lucy off at the, you know, the time that school starts, and then there was parent-teacher conferences, so she went to that and came back. And then pickup was, you know, a little bit later. Everything was spaced like an hour plus apart, so it didn't really make sense to stay out, and she didn't really have much to do. Plus, Jack was still being kind of, you know, upset or whatever, because it took him a little while to understand what was going on, and even then, he didn't really like the fact that his food was being limited. But by Thursday, we were pretty much all better. Friday, Em went back to work. My mom was home because she was sick, so she was getting better. And then I took care of the kids, but it was a tough day. I've noticed the few times that I've been left with the kids myself, I don't know, I feel like I'm not very good at taking care of both of them. Lucy and I get along very well. Sometimes Jack and I are good, but Jack was not in a great mood, and he's got this scream now that just cuts right through me, because it's like a death rattle practically. And it's one of those things that, you know, I think genetically or evolutionarily, you're just primed to hate and want to stop as soon as possible. But, you know, he's just reacting to whatever is going on in his little body. So you can't be mad at him or anything. But, you know, he was mad. And then I was trying to get my work done, which on Fridays I do my morning posts for Spinoff. And then I also do this toy column, which is somewhat involved. I was able to do my morning post out in the living room on my laptop, which is, you know, it's pretty old. That's why I got the new computer that I mentioned before. And it worked for that, but there was no way it had enough juice to take care of the other thing that I had to do, which is the toy column. It has a ton of tabs open. I got to download a bunch of images and do all this stuff, and it just wasn't going to work out. So I came in my office. Jack fell asleep for a little bit, and he's upstairs. I'm in here. Lucy's kind of watching TV, going back and forth a little bit. And unfortunately, you know, before that, I don't even remember what it was about, but I was on edge. Lucy did something and I snapped at her, and I felt really bad because, you know, she got upset, and then I felt crummy because, you know, this just reminds me that I'm not as good at taking care of both kids at the same time as I was at taking care of Lucy. I mean, Lucy was a much easier baby to take care of just in general. So, you know, Jack being more difficult, plus there being another kid, plus work, all that kind of stuff, you know, builds up. So I wasn't feeling great. Plus, we were going to have a couple of friends come up, and they were going to see the house for the first time and spend the night on Saturday. And I was excited about making dinner and hanging out, because we really don't get to see them that much because they live down in the city. And, you know, with us being so sick and there being, you know, a lot of stuff going on in their lives, we decided to reschedule. We haven't actually rescheduled yet, but to cancel for that weekend. And so I was pretty bummed up. I also, you know, once the kids both fell asleep in the afternoon, I got pretty excited because I wanted to watch this action movie called The Protector 2. There's an action star from Thailand named Tony Jaa, who I'm a huge fan of. He does awesome movies. And for whatever reason, this was the most disappointing movie I've seen in a long time because it looked bad. The special effects were bad. He didn't really seem into it. And so it was like, oh, all this stuff, you know, I finally get a break and that's what happens. But the main reason that kind of all that stuff got to me even more was because it was my birthday. I'm 32 now. That was on last Friday. And, you know, it wasn't anybody's fault. It's just how it happened. My dad did come over in the middle of the day and we all went out to lunch at Fiddlesticks, which is my favorite place. And that was great. And it was a really nice gesture on his part. The only problem was that, you know, Jack was screaming at me the entire time. He's eating solids now and has been for a while. So when we go out, we just kind of figure out what we can give him. And with Em not there, I just kind of winged it a little bit more than, you know, she would. But I was taking the innards out of some sweet potato fries and he was eating those. And then he also liked roasted red peppers. You know, they're kind of slimy or whatever. And he was eating those fine chowing down, but like literally I'd put some in his mouth and like look away. Even I wouldn't even get a bite of my sandwich yet and he would scream. And it was just one of those things, like by the end of it I was like, okay, thanks buddy, this has been fun. You know, again, nothing he's doing on purpose obviously or anything like that, just something that wasn't the most fun to deal with. So all that together, just thinking about a lot of stuff, you know, when you hit any birthday. I know 32 is not a big deal as far as anything goes. Patton Oswalt has a great stand-up routine about birthdays where it's basically like, you know, 1 through 10, you get a party, you get cake and presents. You skip a couple, some teenage years, you get some. And then after that, after 21, it's every 10 years. You don't really worry about anything else besides that. And I kind of felt like that a little bit. Because it just, you know, it was one of those days. And really what it was, you know, like I said, I mentioned that I did feel bad about not being able to keep my cool with Lucy and not being able to do whatever Jack needed to be done to relax and calm down so he could have an okay day. The friend thing was a bummer too, and not just because they couldn't come up. That just made sense. I would have suggested it myself because the woman and I are actually going to the same event this Saturday, Toy Fair, and it's a big deal. She works for a toy company, so it's an even bigger deal for her. I just cover it and didn't want to risk getting sick because we were all better, but, you know, you never know what's kind of lingering around in your house. We tried to keep everything as clean as possible. Em even wrapped the remote control in plastic wrap so I could use it without tainting it too much. But more so it got me thinking about how, you know, we have friends up here, but I'm not the best at initiating like hangout time and I do miss my friends from Wizard. I mean, I worked there a long time ago at this point. I got laid off in 2009, so it's been 5 years since I worked in the office, but even the years leading up to that, a lot of people got laid off or went to different jobs, and you know, we all used to kind of live in one cluster of an area and we'd all hang out. I mean, this is so long ago at this point that it feels like ancient history, but for me, it's also the last time that I had like a peer group of friends that were all in the same area and all hung out on a consistent basis. I mean, like clockwork, we were hanging out in Nyack all the time and doing stuff together, going to movies and just hanging out after work or even lunch. I mean, lunch at work was fun because we would just sit around, read comics, talk, all that kind of stuff. So it being a birthday and being kind of a tough day in general, all that stuff kind of hit at the same time. But, you know, we tried to have another go at it on Saturday. We went out, just the four of us. We went to lunch at a place called The Handsome Devil, which is an awesome barbecue place above an ice rink of all places in town. That if you're in Orange County or anywhere near, you know, that area in New York, you should check this place out because they do like a bunch of contests all over the place, but then they also open up this restaurant and it's huge and they've got great beer. So I can't, you know, recommend it highly enough. But even there, you know, Jack was in kind of a mood and I was kind of holding him on. I had switched him from my right arm to my left arm and I looked across the table at Emily and then I turned my head back and I noticed that he had like it looked like, you know, a yogurt spit up on his mouth. And then I looked at my left shoulder area, and it was just covered. He'd horked all over me. And he's still, you know, it's been a week since then, even almost. And he's still not all the way better. Something's wrong with his stomach. He's got a lot of gas going on, and he's been very on and off. You know, when he's off, he just is angry and screaming, and you can feel and hear the bubbles in his stomach. And then when he's on, he's fine. Like, Tuesday, I want to say, was a great day. In the morning, he was in a good mood. We hung out before my mom got here. She was with him. He was hanging out with Lucy while they did, like, tea parties and fashion shows and stuff. And then, you know, after that, when she left for work, I hung out with her. Sorry, when she left and I was done with work and making dinner, I hung out with him and he was fine. But then Wednesday came, and he was mad in the morning with just me. And then after that, he was kind of mad with my mom when I was making dinner. And, you know, like, I grabbed him at one point. She handed him to me, and he calmed down. So we weren't sure if he was, like, maybe jealous that I was hanging out with Lucy, or, you know, we were doing one of our kitchen dance parties or whatever, or what the deal was. I mean, he does have gas for some reason. So I've been giving him that infant anti-gas stuff. And he might be teething also because, you know, he's got the symptoms. I know I've said that a ton, and he's only popped one tooth at this point, but it seems like something that he's going through kind of slowly, which is too bad because, you know, we'd like to get another one out and allow him to kind of relax with it a little bit. But he does have one tooth, and it's pretty adorable because it's just all gums and then this one tooth sticking out. He looks pretty cute. So yeah, he's been having a rough time. That Saturday, you know, he was still having a rough time, and so we just kind of did whatever. And, you know, I think in addition to all the other stuff that I mentioned, it was kind of a bummer of a birthday. Just because, like, when you're, I'm not even the primary caregiver anymore. I consider myself kind of the secondary after my mom at this point. But when you're here all the time and you're just kind of watching kids, you feel like you're not doing anything for yourself, you know? And so it's kind of a bummer, like, on your birthday when you feel like that, because, you know, I was doing work for other people. Now, it's work that I enjoy, for sure, no doubt about that. You know, I was taking care of the kids and just not really able to do much. And then Em got home and the kids were tired. And since we'd had, like, a later lunch, we didn't go out to get dinner. So we just kind of hung out. My parents did come over that night on Friday, which was nice. My mom was feeling a lot better, it seemed, at that point. And I got some gifts. I actually got the Herbie DVD set, which is all four movies of The Love Bug, which is pretty fun. I got two Hellboy trades and then a mat for the kitchen that kind of you put out. It's like soft so your feet don't hurt while you're cooking. And it also, you know, keeps the mess kind of in one area, which is good. And they also gave me some money. And so I used that to buy a couple more Hellboy trades and two JLA books that I've been wanting to get my hands on for a while. So that's nice. That actually finishes or catches me up on a couple of trades that I've been really wanting. And then from Em and the kids, a month ago, I saw this really big sale that a company called Fantagraphics was having on Amazon for a four-book set that's all of these old EC Comics guys. EC Comics did, like, Tales from the Crypt and, like, Weird War Tales and Weird Fantasy and that kind of stuff. And they had some of the best artists around. Now, the stories are kind of goofy at times, but there's also some good ones. And Fantagraphics has, instead of packaging them as, like, full-color reprints of issues, which has been done before, and I have a couple, and they're actually pretty awesome, these are broken up by artist. You know, it goes across different magazines. So these ones, there's a Wally Wood one, which is a guy that I discovered when I did a review of some creepy comics from back in the day. That's, like, an old Warren magazine that came out after EC got shut down in the 70s. I discovered him and was just blown away. There's an Al Williamson one, Jack Davis, and Harvey Kurtzman. And usually this whole set's like $100, so it's something I would never get on my own, really. But it was half off, so it was $50. That's around, you know, what our budgets are for birthdays. So I said, hey, I know this is probably not the most fun thing for you, but do you mind if I get this? So I've actually had that for a while, and I want to focus on it and really kind of get into those books because I'm excited about it. And the movies and the stuff that my folks got. So that was all kind of a tangent. So, I mean, it wasn't a terrible day by any means, but it just wasn't, you know, I probably need to change what my expectations are, at least for the next couple years for my birthday, or be more active in trying to figure out how to avoid some of those things that bung me out. That's enough about that. The other thing that's been going on here a lot that is probably, you know, if you're anywhere where it's cold, is that there's been a ton of snow. The last two Mondays, at least, maybe three, my wife has worked from home. That's why when Lucy was laying down, you know, upstairs in the bathroom, she noticed it and told me because she was home. And, you know, luckily she was home when all this started, because it would have been really tough if it was just me. My mom was stayed at her house because we hadn't gotten the snow. We actually lucked out a couple episodes back. I mentioned that I actually shoveled our entire driveway by hand. I've also used the snowblower on it. But at one point, Em was waiting to leave for work, and we saw a guy with a plow on his pickup truck, and he started doing kind of the driveway and everything. And he came down and introduced himself to Em. He's one of our neighbors. He just does like a couple of the neighbors. He charges $20, and he, you know, since he's right around the corner, he's pretty prompt. And so he's done that probably five times, and it's really nice. I mean, something I hadn't thought of, you know, when I got the snowblower, I was like, oh, I can do this. You know, it won't be a big deal. It'll take a little time, but, you know, I can do it. I can be self-sufficient, because that's something that I, you know, railed against when I lived at the condo. I hated that I had to rely and sometimes wait around all day for the plow company to get there so I could get my car out, they could plow, and then I could put my car back at some point. It was a much bigger ordeal than it probably needed to be, and I'm sure in my mind I made it worse than it needed to be also. But I like the idea of just having control over my own situation. But with two little kids, I realized pretty early on that if it snows during the week and Em has to go to work, we're not in the best position to get that taken care of in a timely fashion. Luckily, she can work from home a lot of times, so it gives us more of a window. But with the kids, you know, she's trying to get ready for work. I'm trying to do, you know, my stuff, and then you add the shoveling and the plowing and all that kind of stuff on top of it, or the snow blowing rather, and it's more complicated than, you know, I really originally thought it was. But now that this guy comes, it actually helps out a lot. So we still got to figure out like how and when to pay him. I've gotten some money out of the ATM and I set it aside, so, you know, I don't want to burn any bridges there, for one thing, because I appreciate the service, and for another, we don't actually know any of our neighbors yet. You know, we bought the place. We closed on Halloween. It looks like some people bought the house next to us, the closest house to us, which is, you know, right next door. We think that might have sold in like November or something, because they started doing a lot of work on it. But we haven't met them. This is the only guy that we've met. And actually, I haven't met him yet. Only Em's talked to him. So it's one of those things where I, you know, don't want to burn any bridges because we don't know anybody. Plus, he's a good guy, it seems like. And so that's pretty nice. But I got to say, I'm pretty much done with winter. It seems like this one, I don't remember if it started earlier or later or what, but it's been pounding us pretty hard. And maybe I just notice it more because I do have to get out. Even with him plowing, I still shovel the walkway and kind of the area where the cars are, just to make sure everybody can get in and out safely. I'm done with the cold. I'm done with the snow. I would like for it to warm up and start kind of getting rid of some of this. Or at least just not add any more. Of course, I say that knowing that we're probably going to get more snow this weekend, and it's supposed to be very cold when I head down to Toy Fair on Saturday. But I guess that's just what happens. I mean, I noted when I first moved out here, probably the first four winters were pretty tame. You know, everybody said, like, oh, the winters in New York. Well, whatever, man. I'm from Ohio, and the winters there are no joke. And I went to college for 4 years in Delaware, Ohio, which is down near Columbus, which is, I swear, the craziest weather area I've ever been in. Literally one January, I was wearing shorts outside one day, and then it snowed like a foot the next day. It's insane there. And the way the campus is set up, it's basically like one giant wind tunnel. So if it's bad, it's very, very bad. But, you know, New York didn't really impress me much with their with their winters until the last few years, and they haven't really been messing around since. So I'm okay. I admit that the winters here are bad as well, and I am respectful of them, and I would like for them to go away for a little while. But, you know, I don't want to be all downer in this episode. I do want to talk about some of the fun and cool things that have been going on. When Jack is in a good mood, he's a delightful little dude to be around. There's a couple things that I've been doing. He likes to stand a lot, and so I'll stand him up on my legs facing me and hold his hands, so he's kind of standing and rocking. And he finally started doing kisses, which is pretty fun. You know, I'd bring him close to me and I'd kiss him on the lips or kiss him on the cheeks, and then I realized, you know, in the last week or so that he was kind of kissing. Now, his kiss looks like a zombie's about to attack you because it's just this open mouth. And like I said, he's got that one tooth sticking out. So he's just kind of coming at you like, ah! But he's laughing and smiling and doing it. And then he'll give you a kiss on the cheek and all that kind of stuff. And that's a lot of fun. And then the other thing that I've been doing with him that he seems to like is alphabet sounds. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this on previous podcast episodes, and I might have written about it on poppapa.com at one point. But this is something that I just kind of thought of. I took a linguistics class in college. That might have influenced a little bit. But what I do is I do like the phonetic sounds of the alphabet in alphabetical order. Instead of doing A, B, C, D, E, I do A, A, B, C, D, A, E. You know, all the vowel sounds that I can think of, plus I end with ch and sh, because I figure with him being that close to my face, he can see a little bit of what I'm doing with my mouth when I make the sounds. I did it with Lucy. I think I actually put a video on YouTube that I will post in the show notes for this episode over on poppapa.com, which is poppapa.com. 2 or 3 months ago, I did it. I was doing it kind of sporadically. And then I did about 2 or 3 months ago, and it looked like it really just kind of clicked something in his head. After that, he really got more vocal and was talking more and was just, you know, seemingly more interested in kind of using his voice. But, you know, it kind of tapered off. And then lately I've been doing it a lot more consistently, and he seems to enjoy it. He's got kind of like mm and ah sounds down, so I think mama won't be too far behind. And he just kind of yells, which I think might be dada. He's like, da ha. So we'll kind of see how that goes. But, you know, we're in very much of a holding pattern with him, just kind of seeing what new development takes place and hopefully what he can get past and that's bothering him so that he can get into a little bit better place, you know, at the house and just being more comfortable or whatever it is that seems to be bumming him out. Hopefully we can get past that pretty soon and get moving on a little bit to where we're all having a little bit more fun, I guess. And then another kind of fun thing that has been going on has been with Lucy, and that is that she has been playing video games with me. Now, when she was, like, much younger, we did a little bit of Wii, but frankly, I haven't even unpacked the Wii yet since we moved, and she doesn't really remember it, so she's not asking for it. And plus, I don't know if she has the coordination to do Wii, although probably Wii would be better than what we are doing, and that is playing old-school Nintendo and Sega games on a system that's called Retron 3. This is something that I've heard about a few years back, and then I actually put it on my Christmas list. I keep an Amazon wish list, and my folks got it for me for Christmas. And what it does is it allows you to play old Nintendo, Sega, and Super Nintendo games with the original controllers if you want, or it comes with controllers. And it's really cool. I mean, I'm a fan of those games, but if you, you know, are familiar with the Nintendo a little bit, the original Nintendo Entertainment System has, I believe this is correct, it's got a chip in it that was supposed to detect bootleg or fake games and then kind of make it so that the system would, like, shut down if it detected that. Well, that chip deteriorated over time. I mean, these things weren't expected to be, like, still played 10, 15, 20, 25 years later. So it just kind of deteriorated to the point where it thought all games were bootlegs or counterfeits. So what that means is if you've ever tried to, like, hook up your old Nintendo and you put a game in, it kind of flashes, like, black or white or sometimes red or whatever, and it seems like you can't get it to work. Now, in college, I busted out my old Nintendo and we had some fun with it, and I got really good at kind of, like, you put it in and you, like, push it down and then you kind of just wiggle it a little bit, and it was like this whole, like, long process just to play, like, Mario 2 or whatever, but I could do it. But that is a pretty big hassle. Plus, it's kind of nice to just have one system instead of two, it just plugs right in your TV and you can play it. It also has like more updated inputs for modern TVs, which are much different than, you know, they were like back in 1988 when the Nintendo came out. So that's a pretty cool thing that I have. And I actually have all of my Nintendo and Sega stuff out here. It was in a bin. You know, we had it out at the house. I actually had it when I lived with my buddy Ricky a long, long time ago. And then I, you know, brought it to the condo when we bought that. Eventually I packed it up and put it in the storage unit. And now I have it again because we have all the stuff from our storage unit in the garage. And so I busted out a few games that I thought Lucy might like because she keeps asking about it. And so I was like, okay, I grabbed Ninja Turtles because she's kind of familiar with them. Just from like a general way, I've got t-shirts and stuff. She's seen like a couple toy commercials or whatever. But for the most part, she doesn't watch that show, so she's not overly familiar with it. And I grabbed Mario. She knew that from kind of her Wii days. Plus, she watches the Super Mario Super Show sometimes on Netflix. And Sonic 2, because the nice thing about Sonic 2 that we realized when we were kids is that you can give somebody the second controller. It's not really a two-player game, but if you give somebody the second controller, there is a two-player option, isn't there? It splits between top and bottom, but that's not what I'm talking about. If you give somebody the second controller when you're playing Sonic 2 for the Sega Genesis, the first controller controls Sonic, and then the second one actually controls Tails, and that one doesn't matter if you die or anything. There's no penalty for dying, but it can help. You can actually like jump, and when you jump twice, and it makes his tail spin, so he flies. Sonic can actually jump up and grab his hands, I think, and so it can be helpful. Plus, you know, my friend and I used to play this when we were kids, my buddy Jeff and I, and so one of us would be Tails, and the good thing about Tails was that like you could kind of sacrifice yourself a little bit to get like an item or a ring or whatever, and it wouldn't penalize you. It would only be good. So if you got a ring and then you fell to your demise, Sonic still got the ring and it didn't matter. So I figured that would be a good one. I could give her the other controller. She could be Tails and kind of play. And so she does. She plays with me a little bit. Her attention span isn't super long, which is probably good because she's not very good. You know, she's three. It's not, I'm not surprised or angry about that or anything. But, you know, she has gotten pretty good at Ninja Turtles. We've got Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, which is a game I loved as a kid. I played it with my buddy Zach when we were little. And then there used to be an arcade at the Franklin Park Mall called Red Baron. And it was this amazing arcade, kind of like something you'd see in a movie from like the late 80s, early 90s, because it just went like, it was a big open area, like two stories basically. And all the games in the bottom were like the games that you could get tickets for. You know, they had like skee ball and like Big Bertha and maybe some pinball machines or something. And then it actually went up and around. You went up some stairs and there was like a catwalk like that went around the whole wall or whatever it was that had all the arcade games. And so we would play that and we'd play the X-Men game. And, you know, you would just be – you put your quarters in. Your mom would go to like Lion's Store or whatever, JCPenney's, and you would sit there and play and like other people would come in and – and it was kind of like a cool communal thing. It's basically online play these days, but, you know, back then we had to do it in person. So that was fun and cool. And so it was neat sharing that game with her. It does get a little frustrating because she's not super coordinated with it. Again, I'm not mad about anything. I might sound a little perturbed. I'm trying not to be that anal about this kind of stuff. So she plays. We get to a certain point. She actually lasted longer the last time we played than I did, which was funny. And then she plays Mario a little bit, but Mario really, you need to get down like moving to the right and jumping at the same time. And she's more of a move than jump or fight. So when we're playing Ninja Turtles, it'll be like, okay, Luz, go ahead. Walk, 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 walk. Okay, go. Now fight, 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 fight. And she did pretty good, but that stage ends with like you fighting Bebop or something. And she got beat pretty bad. And at one point I was like, oh no, you died. And she goes, I died? My Ninja Turtle died? And we're like, whoa, okay, hold on. So maybe I need to like figure out new ways to say this kind of stuff, because obviously she's a little confused about the whole death thing in general, and I am not helping in any way. She, even when we turned it on the next time, she was like, is my Ninja Turtle still died? And I was like, no, it's just something that starts and stops, and it's a game. You don't have to worry about it. It's not like that. She was like, okay, that's fine. So that's been fun, and it has kind of rejuvenated my interest. I mean, I was excited to play some stuff myself. I also broke out like Mario 3, which is a game that I love, and Donkey Kong. The version I have has Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. I was more of a Donkey Kong Jr. fan. The funny thing about these games, though, that I'm realizing as I kind of play is that the idea of the game, you know, is to win, right? But when you sit down with one of these old games, it's more of a marathon than I remembered. And by that I mean, you know, these days we're used to games. I don't play a lot of games. I mean, the game I play most is Skate 3, which came out like 6-7 years ago at this point, and I just keep playing it over and over again. But these days with games, you get to a point, you stop, you save, you move on, you go do something else. You know, when we were kids, we had to like pause the game and hope that nobody turned off the Nintendo or the Sega. And then you just turn the TV off and hope, you know, you just hoped that nothing would happen or, you know, the power would go out or anything like that. That's because it's a marathon. It's something that you've got to stick with. And really, that's a different experience. When I sit down to play a game now, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play a little bit of Skate 3. You know, maybe I'll do this level I've done a few times, have some fun with it, and then go on to something else. But with these games that you can't save, it's like, because I sat down to play Mario 3 after I got this thing around Christmas, and I'm sitting there and I got through the first two levels and I was like, I mean, the point is to win. I want to win, but like to win, I'd have to stay up for another couple hours. Even if I get the warp whistles and, you know, I break through that thing and I get the warp whistle and I go to the, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I think 8's on a different one. You know, I've got these things memorized. And the reason that we still have these levels memorized is because we played them a million times over and over again because we had to. And it's just funny. That's not how I play games anymore. You know, you play, aside from Skate 3, if you're playing an adventure game, you start and then you go to the end. Some people like to go through and collect every single little, you know, award or medal or whatever that you can get. That is not me. I play through, I'm done, I go to the next one. Now, there's some games that now that I'm a few years away from them, I wouldn't mind going back. I actually kind of wish I still had Crackdown that I really enjoyed and another game. I think it was Red Faction Armageddon or something. It was just fun games, kind of sandbox type games that I do miss now that they're gone. I could probably get them for a couple more bucks now that everything's moved on to the next generation. But generally, you know, the relationships with the new games are not long. They're fairly short, however long it takes to beat the game, and then you move on to the next thing. But that's not the case with these old games. So that's been something that is just something I thought of and figured I'd mention, because I'm sure I'm not the only dad who or parent who used to, you know, rock the Nintendo or the Sega back in the day and kind of kept moving on with games. I'm a very casual gamer, but it is funny going back and seeing how different, you know, the gameplay experience is and how different, you know, we react to them. I guess maybe like online multiplayer levels, like when we played Halo 3 a lot before I moved out here, we had the maps kind of memorized because we'd play so much. But you don't really get that as much with games anymore. But it's been fun playing with her. She kind of likes to do the rotation. The funniest thing, though, is that she calls it the Goose Game, which is actually Duck Hunt. Now, I have my zapper. I plugged it in. It doesn't seem to work correctly anymore. I don't know if that's because TVs are different now. I think the light gun worked based on, like, the reflection of the gun bouncing off the television and then being received by the gun. So I don't know if the gun's not working, if the TVs are different now, or the Retron 3 system isn't built to convert that signal into whatever. But it doesn't seem to work. Now it goes like sometimes, so it shoots. But every single time that darn dog pops up and laughs at you. Now I hate that dog, and I'm not the only one. I know there's an entire generation of Nintendo players who despise that damn dog. But my daughter loves him. She goes, I want to play the Goose Game and see the dog. And so that's hilarious. I mean, she doesn't care. She doesn't care that she's not hitting any ducks or geese, as she calls them. And she just has fun with it, which is the whole point. I mean, part of me gets annoyed when other people can't do a level or something. That goes back to when I was a kid. I'd be like, here, just let me do it for you. I can get you there. But I hated when people did that for me. And so I try not to do it too much. There was one little bit in Ninja Turtles where, you know, just on the first level, you're walking through and there's a stairwell and these giant, like, metal balls come crashing down, and if they touch you, you fly all the way back to the left, which means you've got to walk back towards them and get through eventually. And Lucy just kept getting killed by these things and knocked over, and I was like, here, let me just do it real quick. I got her passed. She finally did it, and she goes, Daddy, that's not nice. And I was like, all right, I guess we'll try to figure out a different way, or, you know, work on your timing a little bit more so that this isn't such an issue. So that's been fun. This week in general has actually been pretty good, aside from Jack being so mad. Like I mentioned, Monday we had another snowy day. It kind of came at night and didn't really stop throughout the day. So my wife stayed home and worked. I did my morning stuff. I've actually been a little bit light on work these days, which is, you know, always a little disconcerting. But I do have Toy Fair coming up on Saturday, Valentine's Day, of course. Toy Fair, I've explained it a few times, but if you're new to the show, is a big event that goes on in the Javits Center, which is the same place the New York Comic Con is held every year, but this is in February for some reason. And it's an event that goes back like over 100 years. Basically, it's a place for all the toy manufacturers and makers in the whole world who want to come. They all get a little booth space, or a big booth space, depending on how much money they spend, and they show off what they're going to have for sale in the rest of the year. It's a big deal in kind of the collector world, because all the new action figures are going to get shown off from everybody from Mattel and Hasbro down to, you know, the smaller, more like collector-oriented companies like Diamond Select Toys and NECA and Mezco, McFarlane, all these places. I've been going for, gosh, 6 years now, maybe? I went twice when I was at Toy Fair, and then I think I went the year I got laid off. I don't know if I covered, and I might have just walked around, I can't remember. I might have skipped a year in there. And then I've covered it for comicbookresources.com the past few years. And it's fun because you get to see all the cool new stuff that's coming out. I get to see a lot of people that I know. You know, I mentioned missing friends from the Wizard days. Well, this gives me a chance to see some of the guys who I used to work with because they've moved on to some toy companies. And also some of the people that I worked with, you know, not at Toy Fair, like they didn't also work at Toy Fair, but they're my contacts from back then. Sorry, this might be a little confusing. I worked for a magazine called Toy Fair. That's T-O-Y-F-A-R-E. The event is Toy Fair, two words, F-A-I-R. It's confusing, so sorry about that. But it's just nice to see some of these people and kind of see that their passion is still there and they're still doing their thing and just getting a look at all that. So that's what I'm doing Saturday. I've got all my appointments set up and I'm going to get my gear together. The thing that I've got to figure out most right now is what I'm going to wear, actually, because, you know, it's the middle of winter. Everybody kind of bulks up, I'd say, or puts on an extra layer or two. So I've got to figure out tonight or tomorrow what I'm going to wear. But aside from that, it'll be fun. It's kind of a bummer to miss Valentine's Day. But since Valentine's Day is so close to my wife's birthday and my birthday, we don't really do a whole lot. We try to get, you know, cards and maybe go out to dinner at some point. But we haven't figured out when that's going to be. She's had a cold all week. You know, Jack's been extra needy. So it's been kind of not the best week in the world, but definitely better than last week, which is always nice. I also have gotten, you know, since Tuesday, I've been able to get back to my schedule a little bit and caught up on some blogging stuff. I've been trying to post every day on poppapa.com, the site that hosts this podcast. I've got a couple things up this week. I'm behind on photo diaries, so I do apologize for that. I'm hoping to catch up before I go to Toy Fair just to get it out of the way. But I have done a couple posts on some comic books that I thought might be good for kids that maybe aren't so good for like young kids like my daughter's age, but might maybe for like 6, 7, 8 year olds, a Superman book and a Batman book. So head on over and check that out if you want. I did do a post after the Super Bowl about some of the dad oriented or kid oriented commercials that I enjoyed. That's on there. So you can go and check all that stuff out if you're interested. And I did some stuff over on my pop culture blog that I'll, you know, kind of plug at the end of the show. So I got caught up on that. And then yesterday I actually sat down and wrote like 15 pages in this graphic novel that I've been working on. And 15 pretty good pages that really kind of, like I've said before, you know, bobbed and weaved a little bit more than I originally thought they were. I don't outline or do anything ahead of time. I just write. So these things are kind of surprising me as they go. Although, like, you know, I'll think of stuff that will work in a little bit. But for the most part, it's kind of a discovery process for me, which is a lot of fun. So I really got to do that. I've gotten back to cooking, which is nice. I finally got to the grocery store. You know, one of the nice things, probably the only nice thing about everybody being out of commission last week was that it spread the food out into this week a little bit better than I thought it would. So I've been able to make some pho, which is like a Vietnamese chicken soup that is just fantastic. And I made some chili that I ground my meat and I use bacon, and I've actually developed my own recipe for that I really like. And just a few other things here and there. So it's been nice to kind of get back to normal, especially after a somewhat traumatic, you know, week. My wife and I were talking, and it's almost like we have post-traumatic stress syndrome around the kids, because anytime either of them kind of like hiccups or coughs or burps or does anything, we're both like, because it you know, it was a lot of hork all over the place. It was like an Italian giallo movie, except for it wasn't blood, it was vomit, and it was everywhere. So, and it lasted a lot longer. though equally as confusing, I guess, as a giallo. So that's kind of where we're at. Obviously this week has been a lot better than last week. And I had a lot to talk about, because this episode's almost up to, you know, probably around the 45-minute mark once I go through and cut. So I'm gonna cut off here. I'm gonna wish you all a happy week. If you want to read some of the links that I mentioned already, or check out some notes or information based on this episode, head on over to poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com, and check out the episode number 91 show notes. That'll be relatively close to the top of the page, hopefully. You can also head on over to unitedmonkey.com. That's M-O-N-K-E-E. That's my pop culture blog that I mentioned. Did more fan / new reader oriented review of those Superman and Batman books that I mentioned over there. The one on Pop Papa is more about like whether kids could get into them. That one is just more of a straight ahead review. I also explained why I didn't like that movie, The Protector 2, that I mentioned watching on my birthday and being very disappointed by, and a few other things here and there. And I am on Twitter at PapaDietsch. That's P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. All right, gang, have a good one.